إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا بربوبيته وإرغاما لمن جحد به وكفر، كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وقائدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله أرسله الله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون ولو كره المشركون. بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين، فصلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. أما بعد عباد الله، فإني أوصيكم ونفسي المخطئة بتقوى الله، وأحثكم على طاعته، وأحذركم وبال عصيانه ومخالفة أمره، فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. يقول ربكم سبحانه: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله، اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. أما بعد، all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah Almighty, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, and I encourage myself and you to fear no one but Allah, as Allah your Lord states in the Holy Quran: all those who believe, fear Allah the way he should be feared, and do not die unless you're on the state of Islam. My brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions stories in the Quran Kareem. He mentions those stories not for the sake of us entertaining ourselves by listening to those stories or hearing those stories or enjoying ourselves of that story. But the stories in the Holy Quran have great essence, have great lessons to comprehend and reflect upon in the past and the current and the future. The stories in the Quran Kareem are not just for us to listen to and just for us to entertain ourselves and minds with, but they are for us to comprehend and learn great lessons from the past and the current situations and the future. And amongst those amazing stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Kareem, and the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam tells us the story in details, is the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud, the people of the ditch. And I want you, when you listen to this story, in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the one that's telling us this story, I want you to comprehend the current situation of the Muslims of these days. In particular, what's happening in Syria, Palestine, and what's happening to the Muslim Ummah, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ عَلَى قَصْعَتِهَا. That this whole world will unite against you and attack you as one man attacking another, like how a group of people get together and eat from one plate. And this is what's happening to the Muslim Ummah, this is what's happening to Islam, the entire world, from the differences of their religion and cultures and race and nationalities, they have united against their enemy, and their main enemy is Islam. Their main enemy is the Quran. Their main enemy is the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But as much as they fight this religion, and as much as they continue to fight this religion, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect this religion. And whoever fights this religion is fighting Allah. And whoever fights Allah, it is not dead, they'll always lose. The story of Ashab al-Ukhdud, a story that let our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam tell it to us. Hear it from the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam through the authentic narrations that the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam mentions this story. And again, my brothers in Islam, I want you to comprehend the current situation and reflect upon this story on the current situation of the Muslim world, in particular what's happening around in the Muslim countries, such as countries like Syria. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells about a king. The majority of the scholars say this king was in Yemen. And it was during the time and era between Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This king claimed the lordship. He claimed that he is the lord of the universe. He claimed that he is the creator of mankind. He claimed that he is the sustainer of the creation. And what he used to do to deceive his followers, he had magicians. He had magicians, sorcerers. They used to deal with magic. And people, when they see abnormal things happening on the hands of someone, they start respecting this person. And that's what happened to this king. People believed in his lordship because he used to use the magicians and the sorcerers to make these people believe the greatness of this king. And he had a particular master magician, one of his main consultants. One of his main consultants and close magicians is the master of magicians. And this master of magicians, he became so old that he knew that his time is coming to an end. But he wanted to protect what he's been working for many years, him and the king. So he told the king, look, as you could see, I'm getting old and I'm soon to die. Why don't you just choose a young, bright man, wise and smart, that could learn magic from me, that could continue what I left behind or what I will leave behind, so you could stay the king and the lord that people believe that you are the lord. So the king agreed. So he went and looked amongst the people around him, and he chose the most brightest young man amongst them to be the student of the sorcerer and magician to learn magic from him. And it began with this young man who was from amongst the brightest and the smartest that the king had chosen. He started to sit before the hands of the magician to learn magic from him. And every day this young man travels from his house to the magician's house. He used to go past a house. They used to see a man different than the rest of the people that he used to see. And hear him say things different than what he had ever heard before. Day by day going past that house and seeing that man, he wanted to know what this man is doing and what is he saying. So he sat down before this man. And it turned out to be this man is from amongst the religious leaders, amongst the religious ministers, a scholar from the followers of Isa alayhi salam, a monk, a rahib, who was in the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the message of Isa. So this young man sat before this minister. And he started to learn from him. And he started to hear him. And obviously he's calling him to the monotheism of Islam and to the belief in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is no deity and there is no Lord except Allah Almighty. And every day this young man, on his way from his parents' house to the magician, will go past this scholar's house. And on the way from the magician's house to his parents' house, he'll go past this scholar's house. So the parents realize that he's always late, and the magician realized that he's always late. So they start to question him, why are you always late? So he spoke to his teacher, the scholar. And the scholar advised him to say to the magician, when he tells him why you're late, say to him, my parents delayed me. And when your parents ask you why you're late, say to him, the magician delayed me. And this young man started to learn from both at the same time, from the magician and from the scholar. But he was confused at the same time. Who is calling for the truth? This scholar or this magician? Even though he's reached a high status or high level of knowledge in sorcery, and at the same time in high level of status of knowledge from this scholar. But at the same time he was confused who is saying the truth. One day while he was walking in the middle of the town, he saw people gathering around a massive, humongous beast that people are afraid from. People are trying to terrify that beast, but that beast terrifies them. So this young man said, today is the day that I'm going to know who is on the truth, the magician or the scholar. So what he did, he grabbed a massive rock in his hands and he said, oh Allah, If what the scholar is saying is more beloved to you than what the magician is saying, then kill this beast that people are terrified from with this rock. So he casted that rock at that beast and the beast died. So that was a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him to know that what the scholar is calling for is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than what the magician is calling for. And now this motivated the young man and made him more attached to the scholar than the sorcerer and the magician. And he went and told his story to his scholar, to his teacher. He told him, this is what happened to me today. I made this dua and grabbed this rock and cast it at that beast that people were terrified from, asking Allah to choose for me what's best, and that's what happened. So the scholar was amazed. And he knew the sincerity and the status that this young man had reached to. So he told him, oh young man, today you became better than me. The scholar, the teacher is saying to his student, today you became better than me. And Allah Azza wa Jal had elevated you to a high level and status. And therefore, you're going to be tested. Therefore, you're going to be trialed. And if you ever get caught, then tell anyone about me. We agree? Yes, I do. So this young man, out of motivation and enthusiasm and courage, he went out preaching the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he believes in and what he was taught from this scholar. And Allah Azza wa Jal started to appear on his hands miracles, karamat, miracles. That if someone is ill, he gives him recovery by the will of Allah. And if someone is blind, he gives him his sight back by the will of Allah. And if someone's got leprosy, he heals his skin by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the news on this young man started to spread. That amongst those who heard about this young man and the miracles that's appearing on his hands, one of the close consultants and ministers to the king. This man was so wealthy, he was close to the king, but he was blind. And he heard that there's a possibility for him to bring his sight back. So he went to this young man and he sat before him. And he said, you could bring my sight back as people are saying about you. He said, no, you are mistaken. He said, what do you mean? He said, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that brings your sight back. I call Allah, I ask him, and it's Allah Azza wa Jal, the one that gives you recovery, not me. So the king said, so this minister, who's a close consultant to the king, a close friend to the king, he said to him, is there a Lord beside our king? Is there a Lord beside our king? Has the king been deceiving us for all this time? So this young man said, yes, my Lord is the Lord of your king, and your Lord, and my Lord, and the Lord of the universe. And if you want Allah Azza wa Jal to cure your sight, you must believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this minister said, yes, I will do. So this young man asked Allah Azza wa Jal to give the sight back to this minister. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the sight back to this minister. The minister knew and acknowledged and adhered that there is no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this. So he became a follower of this young man. One day, the king sits with his minister, where before he used to see him blind, today he sees him sighting. So he tells him, what happened to you? He said, I could see now. Because of what? Because of a young man who believes in Allah. So the king said, me? He said, no, there's another Lord. A Lord that's above you and me, and that's the Lord of the universe. So the king became so angry. He grabbed his own mate and consultant and minister and companion and started to torture him until he spoke about this young man. So the king went and brought that young man. He brought him forward. So the king looked at him and said, oh young man, my son, you've reached to the level of magic that my own magician did not even reach to. So the young man said, no, you are mistaken. You are mistaken. What you've heard about me, it's not about magic. What you've heard about me is not magic. But what you've heard about me is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the king was shocked. And he said, is there another Lord beside me? So he said, yes, Allah is the Lord of the universe. My Lord and your Lord. My Creator and your Creator. My Sustainer and your Sustainer, the Master of the universe. You only are creation of the Creator. So the king became so angry to see an opposition, to see someone opposing or defying his or challenging what he's calling for and been calling for and preaching for many years. So he started to torture the young man and torture his minister until the young man suddenly spoke about the scholar that he had taught him when he had given him the promise not to speak about him. So he brought the scholar and he started to torture three of them. Come back to my belief and believe that I am the Lord. Three of them are refusing. Torturing one after the other, believe that I am the Lord of the universe. No, there's only Allah, the true Lord of the universe. So he killed the minister. Started to torture the scholar and the young man. Believe that there is a God. Believe that I am the Lord of the universe. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illahu. So he killed the scholar. But now he's afraid from this young man. Because the minister and the scholar, no one really knows about them. But the entire town now is talking about this young man and the miracles that had appeared on his young man. So he was afraid that he'll do something to this young man and people will find out about it. And then people will start following the belief of this young man. So what he did, he asked his soldiers to take him to the peak of a mountain, to the highest peak of the mountain, and cast him from there without anyone knowing. So a group of the soldiers took him to the highest peak around that town. And while he was tied in chains, they reached to the peak of the mountain to cast him from the high peak of the mountain. And this young man turns to Allah and he says, Ya Rab, support me from the evilness of these people. So Allah shook the mountain, the Lord of the mountain and the universe, and all the soldiers fell down dead. And he was the only one that stayed alive. But what did this young man do? He didn't take the opportunity to flee and run away and escape. But he wanted to prove a point. He wanted to prove a point that a Muslim dies for. And that's the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the reality of a Muslim. To him, his principles comes before everything and anything. A Muslim will sacrifice his life for the sake of this principle. And that's Islam. So this young man, when he had the ability to escape and run away, when there's no soldiers around, they all died. He went walking on his own feet to the king and stood in front of the king. So the king was shocked to see him coming to him, freed by himself. So he said to him, what are the other soldiers? So the young man said, Allah protected me from them. So the king became so angry and he asked another group of soldiers to take him in the middle of the ocean and tie him up and cast him in the sea and let him drown and die from drowning. So they did. While he was in the boat with a group of soldiers, him chained up. They wanted to cast him in the ocean. He turned to Allah, the Lord of the ocean, and he said, Ya Rab, protect me from the evilness of these people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the boat around and made all the soldiers die, and he was saved. And again, he came back to the king. He wants to prove a point. He's willing to die for this point. He's willing to die for this principle. He's willing to sacrifice everything he has. And that's why a Muslim is the bravest and the most courageous. Why? Because he's standing for a true principle. That's what makes you different than everyone else. It's because of what you believe in. It's what you stand for. It's what you sacrifice for. So this young man went to the king and stood in front of him again. The king once again was shocked. He was amazed to see what's happening. Who is this young man? What did I bring upon myself? So the young man told the king and he said to him, do you want to kill me? So the king said, yes, and absolutely. So the young man said, there is only one way that you could kill me. There is only one way that you could kill me. And that way is that you gather the entire city, the entire town, and you put me on a tree, you crucify me on a tree, and you yourself grab an arrow from my arrows and pull the arrow and say out loud, in the name of the Lord of this young man. Beside that, you'll never kill me. Look at this young man, willing to sacrifice his life. Where's the young Muslims these days? Sacrificing their lives for the haram, for clubs, and some women, and sex, and drugs, and gangsterhood. This young man is willing to sacrifice his life for the sake of Islam. So the king agreed. He gathered the entire city and crucified this young man on a tree, and took one of his arrows, and pulled it, and said it out loud, in the name of the Lord of this young man, and let go of the arrow, and the arrow came in between his head, and this young man put his hand on where the arrow came, and he died. Who heard that? The entire city. Who witnessed that? All the followers of the king, when they saw that, they said, we'll all now believe in the Lord of this young man. We all now surrender to the Lord of this young man. We all now surrender to the Lord of the universe. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what a disaster. What the king wanted to run away from, he brought it upon himself. All this because of the sacrifice of this young man. So what did the king do? He wants everyone to turn back to his worship. And to believe that he's the only Lord. So he commanded his soldiers to dig up long ditches, long holes, channels in the ground, and put fires in them, lit on fires inside those ditches, and bring every single person who believed in the Lord of this young man, and terrify them before you cast them in that fire, or else, if they don't turn back to my worship, throw them in the fire. He brought over 70,000 followers of this young man. Where days before that they used to believe in the lordship of the king, and now they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bringing one after the other, saying to them, who do you believe in? They say, we believe in Allah, the Lord of the young man, and they cast them one after the other in the ditch full of fire, until one brave mother was brought with a breastfeeding child that she's carrying with her own hands, saying to her, who do you believe? She says, I believe in Allah, the Lord of the young man. So they wanted to cast her and her child, so she became hesitant. Me? Okay. Cast me. But what about this innocent child? Yes, I believe in Allah, the Lord of the young man. But she became hesitant. So Allah made this breastfeeding child to speak out and say, oh mother, you're on the truth. And Allah will meet me and you in the Jannah. For the haqq, for the truth. Look at these people, what they stood up for the principle. For the principles of Islam. Let us reflect on what's happening to our brothers in Syria. Just because they say, La ilaha illallah, and there is no God except Allah, and Bashar is the enemy of Allah, they are getting casted into holes of fires. Heads getting chopped. Children, innocent children being killed. Just because they don't want to believe in no one except Allah Azza wa Jalla. And let us reflect that upon ourselves. What do we sacrifice for the deen of Allah? A young man, with all that he had before his hands, and everything that Allah Azza wa Jal had given him, he sacrificed his life to prove a principle. A principle that he lived for, and a principle that he died for, and a principle that he'll be resurrected with in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that principle is La ilaha illallah. Yes, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. When Musa said, Ya Rab, give me a special remembrance. Give me a special dua. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells Musa, oh Musa, say, La ilaha illallah. So Musa says, Ya Rab, your entire creation says, La ilaha illallah. I want something special for me. Give me something special just for me. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells Musa, oh Musa, didn't you know, oh Musa, if this entire universe, the seven heavens and what's between them, and the seven earths and what's between them, and what's between the earth and the heavens, and the entire universe was to be put on one part of a scale, and La ilaha illallah alone another part of the scale, the word of La ilaha illallah will be more heavier than all that altogether. La ilaha illallah is what we live for. And La ilaha illallah is what we want to die on. And La ilaha illallah is what we want to be resurrected on. Where is the nation of La ilaha illallah? Where is the young Muslims who say La ilaha illallah? A young man sacrifices his life for the sake of spreading the word of La ilaha illallah. And these days Muslims put La ilaha illallah behind them and sacrifice everything for the sake of the shaitan. Put everything behind them, sacrifice everything they've got for the sake of the haram. Put everything behind them, sacrifice everything for the sake of disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. Put everything behind them and don't even care about the sacrifices of their current brothers and sisters right now in different outskirts in this world sacrificing for it. They are sacrificing their lives for the sake of spreading Islam. And you've got young Muslims these days put Islam behind them, they don't even care. Reflect upon this. What we're living at these days and what happened in the past. These stories are not stories to be told. And not stories just for us to listen to. But these stories for us to comprehend and reflect our current situation on it. To see Ashab al-Ukhdud. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودِ وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a full surah about the people of the ditch and their sacrifices. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Allah says the only problem that the enemies had towards them is because they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only problem they had with them is because they surrendered to Allah. The only problem they had with them is because they believe in Allah. The only problem they had with them is because they only prostrate to Allah. And this is the problem that your enemies have towards you, is that you believe in Allah. Believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe in Allah azza wa jal. Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our greatest principle that we live for. And everything else comes as a secondary. We live for Allah. We live for Allah. Our entire life revolves for the sake of Allah. Our life is for Allah. And it belongs back to Allah and only Allah. Not for the haram. Not for the munkar. Not for clubs. Not for drugs. Not to be a gangster. Where are you young Muslims? Sacrificing your life for the haram. Putting your life for the haram. When Allah had honored you with La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. You are putting your life and sacrificing your life for the haram, for the munkar. For what your enemies had created to corrupt you. At the same moment you've got other brothers and sisters who are sacrificing their lives for the sake of Islam or for the sake of La ilaha illallah. How can you keep it the haram? How could you even sleep the nights? How can you even relax? You're doing the haram and others are sacrificing their lives for the sake of keeping you away from the haram. You are calling for the haram and others are sacrificing their lives to keep you away from the haram. Wallahi, that's not fair and does not make sense. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فيا فوز المستغفرين استغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر أشكره وهو الذي وعد المزيد لمن شكر وأصلي وأسلم وبارك على النبي المعتبر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم describes this ummah as one body. He صلى الله عليه وسلم describes this ummah as one body. If one part of this body, one limb or organ is in pain, the rest of the body is in pain. And if this one part of this ummah is in pain, the rest of the ummah must be in pain. And if this one part of this ummah is suffering, the rest of the ummah must sympathize to this suffering. And if this one part of this ummah is in grief, the rest of the ummah should sympathize to this grief. Not wallah to live our lives comfortable. Not wallah to relax at night as if nothing is happening to us. This is our responsibility. And this attack is not coming down to the Syrians. No wallah, you are wrong. Wallahi, you are mistaken. Wallahi, you are mistaken if you ever believe that this attack is upon the Syrians alone. Or the Palestinians who have been suffering for the last decades. Wallahi, you are wrong. This attack is to every Muslim who says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, regardless the color of their skin, regardless of the country of background they come from, their race, their language, if you say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, you are an enemy. This is the reality. This is a reality. And it's sad to see the ummah, when they see sufferings of other Muslims in other countries, they take it as this is the suffering of this country. No. This is the suffering of the entire ummah. This is the suffering of the entire nation. And if we're not going to put our hands together and sympathize to one another, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives the example how we all fall together and drown. He says, the example of this ummah is the example of a ship with two decks. The people of the lower deck and the people of the upper deck. The people of the upper deck, whenever they want to drink, they drink from the water they are surrounded with. But the people from the lower deck, every time they want to drink, they have to go up to the people at the upper level to get the water. So amongst them they said, why don't we just make a hole where we are and start drinking? Why don't we make a hole where we are and start drinking from the water that comes out of that hole? What does the Prophet ﷺ say? He says, alayhi salatu wassalam, if the rest of the people in the lower deck and the people of the upper deck allow them to do that, what happens? The entire ship sinks. And if everyone puts their hands together and save them and cooperate with one another, what happens? The entire ship is saved. My brothers in Islam, we are one ummah. We are one ummah. We are one community. We are one nation. Regardless where we grew up, regardless of the color of our skins, regardless where we come from, regardless the language we speak, we are one ummah. This ummah is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This ummah is the ummah of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's why my brothers in Islam, we should sympathize at least. At least have that sympathy. At least have that grief. At least have that worry of what's happening around us. And wallah, it's so sad to see Muslims are enjoying their lives here. So relaxing. So comfortable. And others are suffering. And both share the same principle. Both share the same principle. Both in the same ship. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says.